When we think about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and certainly that's on all of our hearts and minds right now, if you need a handout, just lift your hand up high, or ushers will be glad to bring you a handout. Just lift your hand up and they'll get you. If we missed you on the way in, they're coming right now. But when you think about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, you think, well, man, you know, when you think of Jesus, what do you think of? You know, some people are like, well, he healed people, and he certainly did that. He taught people. He fulfilled prophecy. He did good deeds. He did good works. He showed moral character. We know he was sinless, and all that's true. All of that's true. But to me, when I think about the life of Christ and I read the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what really stands out to me and what really hits me is that everywhere Jesus went, he changed lives. Just everywhere he went, he changed lives. You know, I think about, to me, one of my favorite stories in the Gospels is the story in Mark 5 about this guy that was running around in the tombs, and he was cutting himself with rocks, running around naked, screaming and hollering, you know, and just kind of a crazy guy. Brother Paul, he kind of reminded me what Ernest T. Bass would be like, you know. You know, he's just running around throwing rocks, cutting himself with rocks, and hollering and screaming, and they couldn't even bind the guy because he was just so nuts. He was off. He was just crazy. You know, they called him he was a maniac. And Jesus Christ came, and after a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, he's sitting. The Bible says this is exactly what it says. It says when the people came out to see what was going on, they saw the maniac sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. That's the kind of thing Jesus does. Amen, church? Sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. How many of you are sitting, clothed, and in your right mind today? Raise your hand. Come on. Let's get some testimonies. Amen? We hope the sitting and clothed is there. Amen? All right. The right mind, well, we'll see, right? But yeah, that's what Jesus does, man. He changes life. By the way, that wasn't just some nut guy. I mean, that was, you know, he had friends. He had family. Because Jesus said after he healed him, of all the demonic oppression that this guy was under, he said, hey, I want you to go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord's done for you. This was a man who had friends. This was a man who once was probably respectable in society, and yet Satan had just taken over his life. And Jesus Christ came and healed him. Jesus Christ came and rescued him. Jesus Christ came and delivered him. Jesus Christ came and just saved the guy's life, you know, because the guy surely would have killed himself. The guy surely would have ended up just in destruction. And Jesus Christ came and rescued and delivered him. You know what? It would be a scary thought. If you could somehow see what your life would have been like without Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people that wouldn't be sitting in here this morning if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. We'd be dead. We would have destroyed our life already, and we would not be here. I mean, Jesus Christ just changes lives. And in a few days, we're going to be celebrating Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ. And did you know that even as a baby in Bethlehem, Jesus changed lives? In Luke chapter 2, a group of shepherds had their lives radically changed because of this babe in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ. And for over 2,000 years now, Jesus has been taking lives and he's been changing them for his glory. And he's still doing it today. And I want to say this to you, okay, is that Jesus Christ walked this earth and he did many great things and he healed people and he changed lives. But I want you to know that physically and bodily, he went away and he's ascended to the right hand of the Father. But I want you to know that his spirit is alive and well here today. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ is alive, Jesus Christ is well, and the Bible says as he's seated at the right hand of the Father, he is able to save them to the uttermost who come unto him by faith. And I don't care how down and out you are today, I don't care how hopeless that you feel, I don't care how much you feel like maybe you've wrecked and ruined your life, I want you to know beyond any shadow of a doubt, there is hope in Jesus Christ. He can change your life, friend. He can change your life. He can turn it around. He can help you do a 180. Jesus Christ will change your life if you allow him to. But how do you do that? How does Jesus Christ change lives? Does he just arbitrarily do it? Does he just say, okay, I think I'll change his life, but I'm not him? No, Jesus Christ isn't partial. It's not that he'll change someone's life, but he won't change your life. No, as we look at the example here of these shepherds here in Luke chapter 2, I think we'll see three very simple thoughts, but very true thoughts, about how lives are changed through Jesus Christ. And the first point I want to give you is this in your handout, is that in order for you to experience a changed life through Jesus Christ, first of all, you must hear about Jesus with your ears. You must hear about him with your ears. You know, in your hand, I'm going to go to the next statement in your handout. And it says in your handout there, people's lives aren't changed by Jesus until they hear about Jesus. Now, that's a very simple thought, but yet it's a very true thought. Jesus Christ has the power and the ability of changing anybody's life, as I said a minute ago. But you have to first hear about Jesus. And did you know that you do not have to be in church to hear about Jesus Christ? You know, you don't have to be in a church. If you look at this story, look at it with me in Luke chapter number 2, verse number 8. Well, let's go up to verse 7 and get the context. It says, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding, not in a church. They weren't in the temple at that time or a, you know, some type of a tabernacle. Notice it says that they were abiding in the what, church? Field. Keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I tell you what, if anybody ought to be able to quote that, Luke Rich and Jonathan Murdoch ought to be able to say that, because they said it hundreds of times during Walk Through Bethlehem. They were our angels this year. And he announces unto, look at that again, verse 11. For unto you is born this day. Hey, Christmas is supposed to be the celebration of Christ's birth. And I know that some people feel like, well, it's pagan and we shouldn't do that. You know, some people have a conviction, and that's fine. There's no problem with that. If someone doesn't want to celebrate that, that's no problem. That's up to them. You know, the Bible says one person, esteems every day the same. Another one esteems one day ahead of another. He says they both do it under the Lord. He said, let them be. Let them, you know, they're gonna have to do what they do by faith to God. But, you know, I think it's interesting that when Christ's birthday came, that the angels did feel like it was worth celebrating. Isn't that interesting? That the angels did celebrate it. Notice this wasn't like a week later, for unto you is born this day. This was Jesus' birthday, and the angels were having a fit over it. They were all wound up. They were keyed up over this thing. And they were so wound up, man, they found a bunch of shepherds out in the field and said, we got to tell you about this. We got to tell you. Don't you get the idea? It was pent up in the angels, and they had to tell somebody, amen? So they said, man, we're going to go tell these shepherds. And look at verse 13, because notice it says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Would you agree with the angels that it was a great day when Jesus was born? Man, they're celebrating his birth right here. They are celebrating it. They're having a time. It's Jesus' birthday. And they're having a fit. A multitude of the heavenly hosts. Can you imagine getting serenaded by a bunch of angels out in the field? Whew. That's powerful. Luke and Jonathan came up to me. They said, hey, you know, there was more than one angel there. Is it okay if we both get in on it up there? Maybe we better stick with the script, guys. Maybe another year we'll work that in, all right? But they're right. There was more than one, you know. There was one that said that in verse 10 and 11, but then a whole bunch of them join in with him and get in on the action. What's my point? My point is you don't have to be in a church to hear about Jesus Christ. And in your handout, it says all there has to be is a messenger and a listener. That's it. You just got to have a messenger and a listener. You just got to have somebody to deliver the message and somebody to listen. When I heard about Jesus Christ, I wasn't in church. I was in my brother's car. And we were out in our driveway, and my brother told me about Jesus Christ. And I trusted Christ as my Savior right there in my older brother's car that night. Do y'all think I'm really saved because I got saved in a car? Who said no? Yeah, I'm just as saved as if you got saved in a beautiful church building. In our text, the angels were they were the messengers. But do you know who God's messengers are today? Angels aren't going to come deliver the message today because that's not their job today. Today, God has some different ambassadors representing him. And you know who he's got representing him? You know who he has that's supposed to be heralding, that's supposed to be, hark the herald angels sing. They were heralding the message. Today, angels aren't heralding the message. Today, it's up to us. It's believers, those who already know Christ. It is the body of Christ. It's the church. We are supposed to be proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our job. That's what we're supposed to be doing today. And that's why we put so much time and energy and effort and we put so many resources into Walk Through Bethlehem is, you know, it's not to pat ourselves on the back and it's not, you know, to try to make the community think we're wonderful. I know what my heart is. My heart is very simple. I want people to hear the message of Jesus Christ. That is my heart in the thing. And one of our Cross and Tomb workers that gives the gospel there wrote this. Said there was a group that came into the Cross and Tomb while it was raining. And right away, a mother and a child left before I could start. I thought the rest would leave too because we didn't have umbrellas yet. But they all stayed. He said they seemed very unresponsive when I tried to interact. And he said it was a very intense atmosphere. He said, I never had a group stay so focused on me the entire time from the second I started to when I ended. He said, I didn't know if they were really listening or if they were just bored, wet, and tired. He said, but when I did the prayer, the sinner's prayer at the end, and I asked, who just trusted Jesus Christ for the first time? He said, 14 out of 16 hands went up in the air. And he said, I couldn't see the two in the back, so he said, they could have also, I don't know. You understand, every group's not that way, but I want you to know something, folks. That's what it's about. It's about getting out the message of Jesus Christ to people. As you tell the message of Christ, and you can do it at work, you could do it to your neighbor, you can do it over a cup of coffee, at a coffee shop with a friend, you can share the gospel over Facebook, you can share the gospel, I've known people who got saved texting back and forth, and you can share the gospel, you know, any place, anywhere, through whatever avenue you have to share it. But I want you to notice that the shepherds, when they first heard it, when they first got confronted, look at verse 9. It says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. What was their first initial reaction? They were what? They were sore afraid. They were sore afraid. You know, and that's the thing, is that everyone's reaction is different when you give them the gospel. So the Luke 2:47, it says they heard and they were astonished. In Luke 2:18, it says they heard and they wondered. In Luke 16:14, it says they heard and they derided him. In Luke 18:26, it says they heard and then they had a question. In Luke 4:28, it says they heard and they got mad. In Mark 12:37, I love that verse, it says the common people heard him gladly. The common people heard him gladly. The shepherd's initial reaction was fear. But once they heard the entire message, they were very receptive to it. And, you know, I think about your life. Maybe those of you who know Christ, what was your first reaction when you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know, think about that. What was your first reaction? Did you immediately embrace it? Did you immediately believe it and take it in and accept Christ? Or maybe at first you were offended by it. And maybe you thought, hey, I don't need a Savior. I'm good. I'm as good as the next person. If anybody's going to go to heaven, I am. I don't need a Savior. You know, and that's, we got a guy in the city, right, in Bethlehem, candle maker. He's like, I don't need a Messiah. He said, I keep the law. I keep the Ten Commandments. And he said, I'm going to be fine. And that's how a lot of people feel. They feel they hear the message of the gospel, and they're like, I don't need a Savior. I'm fine. I'm doing good without a Savior. I don't need anybody to rescue me. I'm not lost. Some people hear the message, and their initial reaction is they're humbled. Some people are just so humble, they cry. Some people feel very unworthy when they hear it. I had a guy one time that was crying, but he wouldn't accept Christ. And I said to him, why won't you accept Christ? What's holding you back? And he was crying and he said, because I've done so many bad things, I just don't feel worthy to be saved. And I had the privilege of being able to share with him, none of us are worthy. We're all sinners, and Christ came to save sinners. And when I shared that with him, the tears dried up, and he got a big smile on his face, and he trusted Christ as his Savior and died not long after that of cancer. But he was so relieved and got down on his knees and trusted Christ when I explained to him the cross work and what Christ did for him. Maybe that was you. Maybe that's you today. You know, I know for me, when I first heard the gospel, for me, it was troubling. It bothered me. I mean, it plagued me. And it really bothered me because I suddenly realized I'm not okay. And I always thought I was okay. I thought, you know, I'm better than most kids, teenagers. And I thought, I go to church. And and I thought, I'm okay. And when I heard the gospel, I realized I'm not okay. And for me, it was troubling. And it was bothersome. Until I finally trusted Christ as my Savior. I don't know about you, but I felt like a ton of bricks had been taken off my shoulders when I trusted Christ. I was talking about the different reactions. There's another testimony here from our cross and tomb scene in Bethlehem. And this one says, this person wrote, this was very personal to me because in my group, this is a cross and tomb worker that gives the gospel, and said in my group was my mom, my grandma, a close family friend from Morocco, and her 9-year-old son. To my knowledge, our friend had never been to this church before and said she was of a different religion, so I was surprised that she came. As I got to the meat of the message, I could see how much she was paying attention, and her son seemed to be paying attention as well. When I asked for hands at the end for who had trusted Christ, he said, I have to admit, he said, I looked at her first. And I was disappointed that she didn't raise hers. But I looked down, and I saw that her 9-year-old son had trusted Christ as his Savior. I also later found out from my mom and subsequently from herself that she almost did trust Christ. She wanted to. She said it felt so real to me, but she said, I'm of a different religion. He said, he talked about how he's planning on following up and continuing to water those seeds. But everyone's reaction to the gospel is different. Probably most of you in here didn't get saved the very first time you ever heard it. So can I encourage you, if there's someone you've been witnessing to and they've rejected, or you brought somebody to walk through Bethlehem and they didn't get saved, don't be discouraged. Keep praying, keep witnessing, and let God's word do the work. Amen. Don't give up. Don't give up on anybody. Don't you ever give up on anybody. Over and over again, you know what Jesus said? He that hath ears, let him hear. Nobody's life is changed by Jesus until they first hear about Jesus. Number two, the second thing I want to give you is this. Number two, you must understand about Jesus with your mind. In Matthew, I'm not sure if this is it. Yeah, it's in your handout. Look at it with me. In Matthew 15, 10, look what the Bible says. And he, Jesus, called the multitude, and he said unto them, look what Jesus said, hear and what? Understand. Hear, that was the first point, right? But he said, don't just hear, hear and understand. How many of you ladies ever talk to your husband and he's hearing, but he's not understanding? Can I get an amen, ladies?
Amen. Amen.
You said that to me this week. She was just talking and I was hearing her voice and she said, you're not listening to a word I'm saying. Sure I am. Don't you hate it when you say, yes, I am. And she says, what did I just say? I hate that. You're hearing, but you're not understanding. Some of you in here have heard my voice the whole time this morning, but you're thinking about something else. So you're not understanding. Would y'all agree with me that people must not only hear about Jesus, they need to understand the message of Jesus? It is incumbent on the messenger to make the message clear. Many times in your handout, it says many times it's not that people are resistant to the message. It's simply they don't understand the message of Jesus. We've convoluted it. You know, we've obscured it. We've used religious jargon and we've kind of confused the thing. You know, I mean, if you go up to somebody at work who's never been to church in their life and they have no kind of Christian background, and you say, I want to ask you a question. And they say, what? And you say, have you been redeemed, justified, sanctified by the blood of the Lamb that he shed on Calvary? They're going to look at you and go, huh? What's that about a lamb? Where's Calvary? Is that close to DeLand? Never heard of that, you know. You know, sometimes we obscure the message. We're not clear. You know, we cloud it. But I want you to notice how clear and how specific the angel was in our text. Look again at verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's very clear. Very specific and very clear, not hard to understand. The angel told them who Jesus was, where Jesus was, and where to find him. The angel was simple, straightforward, and to the point. We need teaching and preaching like that today in churches. Simple, straightforward, to the point. I remember when I grew up in another denomination, and the pastor up there kind of scared me. Always had a big long robe on, and he would preach, and it was like another language. I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. I got nothing. If Jesus is going to change your life, you have to understand some things about Christ. You got to understand that Christ was not just a good man. He was not just a prophet. He was not simply a moral teacher. He was Christ the Lord. I'm here to tell you, he was God in the flesh. And when we sing that song, Emmanuel, it means God with us. When Christ came to this earth, it wasn't just like Moses coming. It wasn't just like Daniel coming. It wasn't just an apostle. I want you to know, he was God in the flesh. Emmanuel. We sung that the other night. I'm not going to sing it because one of my boys mocked the way I sang Mary, Did You Know? Last Sunday, so. Dad, you were struggling on that song, he said. Wasn't you, was it, Caleb? No, wasn't you. Clint doesn't live with us anymore, so who does that leave? Let me sing. Dun, 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 dun. Dad, you were struggling on that song, he said. So anyway, y'all know the song, right? Emmanuel. Which being interpreted is, what's it mean? God with us. Christ came to die for our sins so that he could be our Savior, so that he could give us the gift of eternal life. Notice I said gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, yet not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You cannot earn a gift, so scrap any thought that you're going to be able to earn heaven by your good works. No, you're never going to do that. You'll never measure up. You'll never be able to look Jesus in the eye and say, I'm as good as you are. Jesus Christ knew that you could never measure up. He measured up for you, went to the cross, and then paid for your sin in full. Christ, and today, Satan is waging a war for people's minds. The battle is for the mind. And there's a verse at the top of your handout on the back side. Look at that with me. It says, in whom the god of this world, that's Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Satan, and not necessarily Satan himself, but his minions, do you think that there was satanic resistance that Satan was trying to offer up as people were getting the gospel out there? You think so? Bible says he's blinding the minds of them which believe not. Whew. That's the war. And then your handout, it says that the message of Jesus is simple and straightforward. Christ died for our sins. That's what Paul said, right? 1 Corinthians 15. He said, I delivered unto you the gospel. Christ died for our sins. Satan is trying to make it complex and confusing. Do you want to experience a changed life through Jesus Christ? You have to understand about Jesus in your inner thinking processes. There has to be comprehension, and there can be. You say, why is that? Because it's written down in black and white. Look, I am really a big-time believer that God does not just arbitrarily enlighten some people's minds and darken other people's minds. I believe with all my heart that when God gave his word, this is what enlightens people's minds right here. I'm a big believer in that book right there. And that book is what enlightens people's minds. This book, it's in black and white. Salvation is not something mysterious. It's not some kind of, you know, the Bible isn't written in some kind of like code, some kind of religious code, and you got to try to decipher the code. No, it's not written in some mysterious religious lingo. It's written in black and white. You can get it in the English language. And God gave you that book so you can read it, so you can study it, so that you can learn it, so that you can understand it. You know what I think of? 2 Timothy 3:15. Paul said, Timothy, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He said, you know what? You've known about this since you were a kid. The Scriptures make you wise. Salvation is simple. It revolves around a person. It's not like when you go to the supermarket and you got all these different choices. Did you know, I was reading, there are 27 different varieties of Crest toothpaste. And if you're like me, you go, you know, there are 53 varieties of Campbell's soup. There are 800,000 apps in the Apple App Store. Take your pick. There are 240 plus selections on the Cheesecake Factory menu. In 1980, the typical credit card contract was 400 words long. 400 words in 1980. Today, many are 20,000 words. Isn't it great to know it doesn't take 20,000 words to explain to somebody how to get to heaven? Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's pretty simple, wouldn't you say? In your handout, it says, who is Jesus? He is Christ the Lord. Why did he come? The angel said he came to be our Savior. How did he accomplish that? By dying on the cross for our sins and rising again the third day and defeating death. Would y'all agree that's not hard to understand, is it? You got to understand about Jesus with your mind. You got to hear with your ears, understand with your mind. Number three, you must believe on Jesus with your heart. You must believe on Jesus with your heart. A person can hear and understand, and then your handout, it says they can still choose not to believe the message. You can hear it, understand it, you get it, and you can still make a choice not to believe the message. Listen, you could put me in an airplane, you could fly me 5,000 feet up in the air, you could explain to me the inner workings of that parachute, and you could tell me all about it, and I completely hear you, I completely get it, I completely can reason and understand how that parachute works, but that doesn't mean you're getting me out of the plane. That doesn't mean I'm jumping, friend. My family's thinking you wouldn't even be up in the air, period, to jump. Right. Just because I understand all that doesn't mean I'm jumping. Somebody could stand on the ground and explain to me all the inner workings, all the mechanical systems about how a roller coaster is put together and how safe it is, and that doesn't mean I'm getting on. How about you? No. I'm going to watch Caleb and wave at him. See, it's one thing to hear and understand. It's another thing to believe. It's obvious in our text, these shepherds believed the angel's message. Look at verse 15. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Pastor Dan, you say, that's where I draw the line. I have a problem with this thing of faith. And really, you know, people say that, and I tell people all the time, you know, you don't have as big a problem with faith as you say you do. Every day you exercise faith. Every day. I got in the car this week and let my 16-year-old drive. Would y'all agree that's an act of faith? It is. It really is. Almost 17. You ever drive over a bridge? Anybody go over the Dunlawton Bridge this week? How did you know it was going to hold you up? Anybody go to the doctor lately and get a prescription? You don't have a clue what's in that thing, and you go home and pop them pills in your mouth. It's like it's candy. Why? Faith. Faith. You look at the facts, you understand, and then you choose, okay, yep, I'm going to believe that. Faith is a choice. Faith's not a feeling, it's a choice. Faith is a choice you make of your will. You hear, you understand, and then you make a conscious choice of your understanding. It is, salvation is, you know, what did Paul tell the Philippian jailer? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. In your handout there, look at Romans 10, 9 and 10. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In your handout it says salvation comes through a heart belief on Jesus Christ. It is your heart resting. Listen, it's your inner man. It's your inner being. The part of you that nobody sees but you and God. And it's that inner part of you completely resting in an intelligent understanding of what Christ has done for you. It's not some leap into a dark room, you know? No, it's you resting in that intelligent understanding of what Christ has done on your behalf. And some people are going to miss heaven by 18 inches. Say, what do you mean? The distance from the head to the heart. They get it. They understand it. But they've never yet trusted Christ as their Savior. They've never fully trusted Him. In your handout, it says, when you do that, this babe of Bethlehem will change your life. And if you'll look up here before you put your handout up, I want you to look up here at the screen and notice this. And this kind of sums up the message. Look at this with me. Go ahead and bring it up. It says, number one is what? Hearing. Hearing plus what? Understanding plus what? Believing equals what? Let's bring it up. A changed life. Would you all agree with that? Amen. Now, I was reading another testimony here from the Cross and Tomb. And this one says, I watched one group come up to the manger scene, and there were four teenagers making jokes and playing around trying to cause a distraction. When they came into the Cross and Tomb, I led those four to the very front of the cross and decided I was going to deliver the message a lot more stern to cause them to calm down and show them how serious I was. Right away, they could tell, and they started focusing on what I was saying. By the end, I was just happy they didn't distract from someone else getting the message. And among the eight hands that went up that trusted Christ in that group, three of the four teenagers lifted their hands that they had trusted Christ. And all three had their heads down and eyes closed, so they didn't know that the other ones had raised their hands. You see, that's what it's all about. Hearing. And then it's like, okay, I get it. Now I understand what Christ did for me. I believe. And that equals a changed life.